I knew a man at Yale Divinity School who didn't fit the J. Crew, Brooks Brothers, preppy mold at all. Anthony wore black jeans, black t-shirts, drove a black motorcycle with lots of chrome, was covered in piercings and tattoos. You get the idea. When it came time for his contemporary theology exam, instead of reading Hans Küng's books, which number about 1,000 pages in length, and you can find them in any Barnes and Noble, somehow he found Professor Küng's address in Germany and wrote him a letter. "Dear Professor Küng, I'm a student at Yale Divinity School. I love what you write, but you can be a bit, wordy. Could you distill your work for me so that I can pass my 20th century theology exam? I would greatly appreciate it because the dogwood trees are about to bloom here in New England, and I don't want to spend all of my time in the library. Thanks for understanding. Yours in Christ, Anthony Morelli." Now, to everyone's great surprise, Professor Hans Küng of the University of Tübingen in Germany, world-renowned theologian, wrote Anthony back. "Dear Anthony, the answer to your question is simple. Even a child can understand it. If I were you, I would write one sentence on your exam, no matter what the essay question is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Good luck, hope you pass, Professor Hans Küng." I need to tell you that on all four of my exams that spring, New Testament, Koine Greek, ethical issues in the women's movement, and evil suffering and death in the New Testament, all of my professors wrote, "If any one of you writes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, you will surely fail." Not funny at all, your professor. All kidding aside, Professor Hans Küng, decorated theologian with doctorates and honorary degrees to show for it, had it just about right. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple, even a child can understand it. On the very first Easter Sunday, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So what does that mean for us 2,000 years later? It means that Jesus conquered death, not just for himself, but for all people in all time. And this is extraordinary news. It means that there is nothing to fear, for in life and in death, we belong to God. There is nothing to fear, for in life and in death, we belong to God. Say it with me. There is nothing to fear, for in life and in death, we belong to God. In our scripture text this morning in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene gets to the tomb first. She finds it empty. She's looking for the body of Jesus, and she expects to find it wrapped in linen cloths, lying in the tomb. She wants to anoint Jesus' body with oil and spices, as was the tradition. But because it was late on Friday, and the Sabbath was coming, they didn't have a chance. So she arrives early in the morning. She finds that the stone has been rolled away, and her first and her worst fear is realized. The body of her Lord Jesus is missing. She assumes it's been stolen. Peter and Simon Peter join her shortly thereafter, and Simon Peter goes all the way into the tomb. He looks around and sees the linen wrappings from Jesus' head folded neatly to the side. The Gospel of John reads like a suspense novel, more so than any of the other Gospels. It has great detail and suspense. Would a grave robber neatly fold the linen wrappings? Probably not. So where is the body? What's happened to it? Mary walks outside the tomb into the garden and she starts to cry. A man comes up to her. Now, we instinctively know this is the risen Christ, but she doesn't. She mistakes him for the gardener. This is odd. Maybe it's dark. Maybe he's wearing a hood. Maybe she's crying and doesn't look up. But then the man speaks to her. Mary, what are you looking for? Suddenly, the Bible says, her eyes are opened. His voice is unmistakable. It's Jesus. He isn't dead. He is alive. You know, I haven't heard my own father's voice since the day he died about 26 years ago. Would I recognize his voice if he spoke to me today? Without a doubt. In fact, on rare occasions when my dad has appeared to me in dreams, the day before our wedding, the birth of our children, he is exactly the way I remember him. How do I know it's him? The voice, the build, the dark, wavy hair, the smell of aftershave. Don't know the brand, but I would recognize it instantly. He is always exactly the way I remember. Would you recognize a loved one who has died? Just to mention this, I am sure, brings tears to your eyes. So here's the thing about Easter. The gospel news is the heart of who we are as Christians. As Christians, followers of Christ, because Jesus died and rose from the dead, we believe in eternal life. We believe that this isn't the end. We believe in heaven. And we believe this because Jesus conquered death once and for all. And this news from a few people at a tomb, a few disciples who spread this news, has changed the world forever. As I prayed about what I would say to you this Easter Sunday, and have people have asked me several times a week for weeks or months on end if I'm ready for the big one. The big one is, I've been told, the Easter sermon. Easter sermon is like the Super Bowl of sermons. The Masters golf tournament in golf. Wimbledon of tennis. No pressure, people say. Just a reminder, get to the point, say it eloquently, be funny, and wrap it up. In spite of all the good advice I have received, one question has kept coming back to me over and over again as I have pondered this text, and that is Jesus' question to Mary. What are you looking for? And so I ask that to you. What are you looking for today, right now, in your life? Are you looking for meaning? Forgiveness? For hope? I know many of you well, and we pray for you as a staff because you are our congregation and we love you. And I know that some of you are hoping to have another child. I know that some of you are being treated for cancer. I know that some of you are looking for new employment. And I know that many of you are facing difficult medical decisions for someone in your family. Quite a few of you work long hours away from your family and wonder if it's worth it. A number of you are praying for a soulmate, someone to share your life with. Some of you are battling anxiety or depression. And many of the moms here keep crazy busy schedules with kids and after-school activities and feel like they are hanging on some days by a thread. Others of you are enjoying the golden years, but looking at times for meaningful connections. And we as a church, I know, are a little bit anxious about the future, about the interim, to move forward and discern what's the next chapter in our history. So what is the good news that this text offers us this morning? Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, "I go before you to prepare the way." And Jesus says the same thing to each one of us. "I go just a few steps before you." These words are at the heart of the gospel about what the good news of the resurrection means for our lives. Not only has Jesus conquered death, but Jesus is just a few steps ahead of us, preparing the way so we are not afraid. Jesus says, "I go before you. Those of you trying to have increase your family, I will show you a way forward. I go before you to those who are seeking a job. I am making that place right now. I go before you," Jesus says to the retired executive. "Together we will find a place for your skills and your very capable hands." "I go before you," Jesus says to the person facing a health concern. "You are not alone. And because you are not alone, we will face this together with quiet confidence." "I go before you no matter where you are on your journey. And I go before you and prepare the way," Jesus says to the First Presbyterian Church of New Canaan. "Even now I am preparing an interim for you. Even now I am working in the life of your new senior minister so that when the time is right, the way will be clear. I am always a few steps in front of you, preparing the way. In life and in death, we belong to God. That is the good news, that we live life without fear." I want to close with my favorite Easter story of all time. It comes from the Christian century years ago. It explains the connection between Jesus and the Easter eggs. So you want to pay attention. An 8-year-old boy named Stephen began to show signs of brain degeneration. His classmates were aware of his special needs, but it was becoming more and more obvious. In April, his Sunday school teacher asked 8 students in Stephen's Sunday school class to bring an Easter egg, a plastic Easter egg, with a new sign of life in it. On the day, everybody was so excited. The kids brought their plastic eggs forward, and the teacher was very careful not to single out Stephen. "Whatever happens," she prayed, "just please don't let these children make fun of this child." The teacher opened the first egg and found a tiny flower. "Oh, that one is mine," screamed a little girl in pigtails. She opened another egg with a rock in it, pushed it to the side. Billy said, "Wait, that's mine. That rock has moss on it. Moss is a sign of new life. We learned that in science class." The teacher smiled. And so it went, egg after egg. The children brought in signs of new life. On the second to last egg, all the children squealed with delight because a butterfly flew out and fluttered all over the room. And then there was a small silver egg, and the teacher opened it, and the egg was empty. The teacher sighed, knowing this was Stephen's egg, and she said, "It's okay, honey. You just didn't grasp the assignment. You can try next year." Confused and hurt, Stephen said, "Wait a minute. What do you mean? We learned in church that the tomb was empty, and that means new life for everyone." The teacher was amazed that the good news of the gospel is so easy to understand, even a child can get it. Later that summer, Stephen's condition worsened, and he died. And his Sunday school class gathered at the funeral home and placed 8 empty Easter eggs on his coffin, remembering that Stephen understood the gospel of Jesus Christ better than us all. The teacher explained to those gathered there, because she could still hear Stephen's voice explaining, "We learned in church that the tomb was empty, and that means new life for everyone." Here's the thing. We may not know what is behind the grave, but we do know who. There is more mercy in Christ than there is darkness and sin in us. There is more love in Christ than there is fear in us. And there is more faith in Christ than there is doubt in us. There is more good news in Jesus Christ than we can ever imagine or begin to grasp. So hear and receive the good news of Easter. In life and in death, we belong to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord over all the earth. He is the King of creation. Alleluia, alleluia. Give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Give praise to his name. May all praise, honor, and glory be yours, Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Amen.